Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for the gift of Jesus the Christ to the world. Thank you for providing us with a sacrificial offering for our sins. May we all accept your free gift, and may we all follow Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. In this season, we celebrate Jesus. But really, we have a good reason to celebrate Jesus each and every day. But now we can easily speak to even a stranger about Jesus. So let us remember to do that now. While it is comfortable, it would not be so comfortable to talk about Jesus in the middle of a hot summer day. But we can celebrate Jesus any day of the year. But now in this season, it is easier. So let us each be ready to speak out about Jesus, his love for us, his sacrifice for us, and how we can be saved from hell by accepting his free gift of being born again. When we live with gratitude, We share that love. We share the love of Jesus with others. And as a Christ follower, we pray to have the opportunity to speak to others using both our heart and our head, and to see the wonderful results of speaking the gospel message of Jesus and his love for us. We say, "Yes, Lord," and we watch our God work, and so we see the faith in our hearts. Oh, it's wonderful. Wonders do happen. Natural things happen too, and maybe it's just how life goes as we see God working, and as we go along with things also. There are miracles that happen when we say, "Yes, Lord." Things can happen even when there's hard lessons in life, and God makes the good out of those hard lessons. I believe in our spirit we agree even with the hard lessons. And oh, you may remember a year ago I had a fire which I lost just about all of my personal stuff. It was very hard. And yes, I have an idea that God spoke to my spirit and said, "If you have that fire, after that, your wife and your children will gather around you to help you, and it will strengthen your family and personal bonds." And so, John, do you want the fire or not? Well, I believe God spoke to my spirit. Of course, it's a question which we have a hard time defining in our human terms. But, well, I certainly do miss the things the fire lost to the fire. But it did improve my family and personal relations, and it also gave other people an opportunity to say, "John, how can we help you?" So there were good things that came out of it, even though it was hard. Certainly, and if there is anybody who has help, I certainly would be very pleased to have help with any donations to make this broadcast continue. And there's many people who listen, but not so many who contribute to the broadcast costs. And it does cost me thousands of dollars a year to be on the radio. And everybody has costs, I know. We all struggle. I think of the big ministries that have huge radio costs, and yet they continue. I do know of a ministry here in Chico that I'm friendly with, and it needs a septic tank and leach lines. And who knows, maybe there is somebody listening right now that has $10,000 who would be willing to donate to a 501c3 Christian organization for that septic. And again, it is a 501c3, so you would get to write off your donation on your taxes. And if you'd like more information on that, I can put you in touch. Donations are helpful for everyone. And for me, for my radio broadcast cost, yes, everything helps. A $10 donation helps. Everything helps a little bit. So, thank you for thinking about any donations you would make. Well, they all help, every one of them. And in these days of inflation, we know money is not what it used to be. So, donations. I was thinking of 2 Corinthians 9:7. And let every man give according to what he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or feeling compelled, but remember that God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Well, I hope you know I'm not saying this verse to push you into giving. It just is that there's opportunities to give all over the place. And we are a part of this kingdom of God that we want to help with Christian needs. And oh, there are plenty of opportunities to give and to help people. I know that. There's needs right here. And it is a good time to give while you are alive and that you have money resources to give. It's always a good time when you have the resources. So, yes. Oh, and do give to your local church. I mean, that's important. But there's many, many opportunities to give. I think there's a Hebrews 13:16. It says that do not forget to do good. And your sacrifices, for those sacrifices, God is well pleased. The timing of all these things is what we can all kind of ponder, and we just struggle with the timing of what's going on in the world, what's going on in our nation, and in our own life. And I hope that you think about all the needs that there are, from your personal preparedness needs to the needs of Christian ministries, all of them. It's all a matter of what we do as we show our love for God. I do think of the inflation that's coming, and I think that it is a good time to give while your money has value, because over time, we are going to see more inflation, and then the value of money will simply deteriorate. So I think if you have an amount you can give, by all means do, to whatever the needs are that you recognize and feel a need, a compassion to give for. Because things are changing, changes are coming, and at one point we will have a new money system. There will be digital money, and there will be the mark of the beast. So every one of us can use the opportunity that we have right now to make gifts. And it's kind of a hard thing to change our way of thinking because we have what is called normalcy bias, which means we just can't quite grasp the changes that are coming. We always want things to remain normal, and that's how we think of what we have known. But when there's a new system coming, the new system arrives. And the world system will be changing for all of us. If we look at history, we see that when new systems come along, well, people adapt to them, or they are forced to adapt into them. And just look at the last couple of years. We have had a new system with the COVID restrictions. We changed voluntarily, and we changed because there was force involved. Oh, yes, I will say force, because if you look around the world, you do see that people were forced by mandates to do this or to do that. And I still see there's people that are have to wear masks, and that's a part of what's been going on. I do question masks. I do remember, well, a couple of years ago, I talked about five studies at university medical facilities where the N95 masks were shown to be not hardly effective against certain illnesses that the doctors and such would get. Well, it is something that's going on. It's going on right now, and we get to deal with it. About that mask thing, the N95 masks that are commonly worn filter to 3 microns. But the viruses are 10 to 20 times smaller than that. And yet we think that masks are effective. I wouldn't say they were, but we still can be forced to wear them. Even today, places still require masks, and now there's even further discussion of what is required. And I do wonder what is coming. We certainly will have more and more things to obey and obey, whether it makes sense or not. I mean, that's just the system we're in, and we have to wonder what is coming. Certainly, there is a trend to be monitored and tracked all over the world, and yes, right here in the United States too, but it's going on everywhere, monitoring and tracking. And here's the true story about that. I've known this man for 5 years, and just last week I talked with him about it and something, and he told me the story when he and his brother had traveled to London in 2004. And now remember, that was 16 years ago. So you can only imagine how technology has advanced since then. But here's the story. He told me that he and his brother were walking from pub to pub in London, sampling their beer. And his brother said, "Wait a minute." And he went behind a dumpster in an alley and he peed. And when they got to the next pub, which was about a block away, the man at the door said, "You can come in, but you cannot," speaking to his brother. "Why? Why? What's going on?" they said. And the man at the door says, "You were video recorded peeing behind a dumpster, and now do not leave. A constable will be along momentarily." And yes, a few minutes later, a constable showed up. So the constable threatened him with arrest, but they were leaving the next day, and so they were allowed to return to the States. Well, this technology is everywhere in the world now, and there are cameras and constables looking all over the place. And certainly that's going on in China too. And they have very advanced systems there. I think of the 1989 Tiananmen Square, how that event happened, where there was over 100,000 people. There were so many thousands of people who went to that. And It happened that my mother was there in Beijing for a cultural thing, and she had written children's books earlier in her life, so she was considered a part of a U.S. cultural team. Well, there she was at Tiananmen Square in Beijing, and she saw that the streets would simply fill up at night. People, masses of people would be going to those rallies to bring democracy to China. That happened at the night, and before the sun came up in the morning, the streets were filled up again with people leaving the rally. It was massive. Massive people in the streets just moving towards those demonstrations at Tiananmen Square. And it happened that not too long after that, the leaders of those mass demonstrations were no longer heard from anymore. And you know, in a communist country like China, it is assumed that the secret police would capture and kill those leaders. And yet, and that news never gets told, but it is common. You know that life is cheap in China, and we know that from the mass imprisonment of Christians and Falun Gong and Muslim Uyghurs. And besides that, there's mass organ harvesting of millions of political prisoners. And that just doesn't make the news in our country, but it certainly does go on. That's from the news that is leaked to Western sources. We are so blessed to live in a Western country where we have a constitutional law, and there is not dictatorship in the United States. So blessed. Well, I think about this technology and the voice of the people and what went on at Tiananmen Square. You know, one of the things that happened there is they had a very special high-resolution camera that was made in Denmark. That was at Tiananmen Square, and it filmed everyone there. And there have been reports that were leaked that say the Chinese police examined 95% of the people who attended that Tiananmen Square rally. And they arrested many, and they intimidated many more. So that's a part of our technological world. And technology is good when it is used for good, but it is bad when it is used for evil. And oh, how very much technology we have in the USA. And just think, if hundreds of thousands of people were demonstrating against what? Perhaps masks and lockdowns? Do you think that would make a difference? Well, all over the world in this year, there have been mass demonstrations against lockdowns and mask mandates. What difference do you think they're going to make? But in so many large cities around the world, there have been these demonstrations. In so many countries, what difference is it going to make? I wonder. Well, there's another true story about technology here. When I was young, I had a friend who worked in RCA Satellite Communication Division, and because of his position, he actually watched the raw photos coming in from the 1969 Apollo 11 moon landing. And he marveled at how the news said, these photographs are coming in directly from the moon and were being shown live on TV as they were being received. But he told me that that was not true. Every photograph first was sent to a three-letter government agency before it went out over the airwaves. And there was a delay. It took between 30 seconds and 2 minutes, he said. And occasionally, he could tell that a photograph was intentionally blurred. And I don't know why, and he didn't know why, but we talked about things and supposed that it was because the U.S. did not want to reveal to the world how good its technology was and how good a photograph it could actually take, so it blurred things. That was the thinking, but there's no confirmation of that. Well, I just bring up these examples of technology for a couple of reasons. And one of them is that we have technology in our world today that is amazing, but there's technology in our military that is even greater. If you listen to some people, they would say that the technology in the civilian area is at least 25 years behind what is used in the military area. So we just can't quite grasp what is coming. That's what I think. Let's see, here's an example of what's technology we just cannot believe. You've heard, maybe, that there are nanobots in the current vaccine. And while I cannot really believe it, I know that technology is amazing, and what if it were true? Or that there are Hydra in the vaccines. Could that be true? And those Hydra are directed by radio waves or cell phone waves. I mean, we really can't believe it. Could it be true? Yeah, it could, because our technology is so amazing, but I still don't know that it is. We hear the stories. We hear what doctors and researchers have said. They have said things like there's graphene oxide in the injections, and that is something that those Hydras thrive in. Do I believe it? I can't say I believe it, but I certainly can't deny it. There's some very sharp people who are saying those things, and we struggle to understand what is really going on in our world. And yes, I do. I know there was that, it was on December 4th, 2021. Oh, about 25 minutes into the broadcast, no, 35 minutes, I did talk about a couple of Catholic priests who had an idea about what was in those vaccines. One was Alex Vignolo and his newsletter titled From Rome. He was one. And then there was the Archbishop Carlo Vigano. And I use these guys as examples because they know things that other people don't. And so you can look back at that broadcast if you want a little more information. But there are things that are going on that are indicating that humanity just might be in big trouble. And you look at the studies that have gone on, yeah, they are not uniform. There is a difference between one study and the next. But when there is one study who says that 80% of the pregnant women who took the jab lost their babies almost spontaneously, I mean, this is a big story. This is a great concern to humanity. And what does the jab do to our white blood cell count when you have reports that say the white blood cell count is diminishing every month after a person takes that jab? Lots of things could simply change humanity. And of course, the important part is to be ready for what could be coming. And while we don't know, we do know one thing that's ultimately coming to all of us. Death is coming. And so we want that relationship with Jesus Christ. That is a part of what is coming for every one of us. And of course, the Bible does tell us what else is coming in the end of the age. And so we want to be prepared one way or another for what is coming. Will it be evil? Will it be good? Well, read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and read Revelation, and you'll see there's some pretty serious things coming. And don't we know that there are people who just cannot hear that there is any evil coming or that there is any present danger? They can't hear it. And I think of, that makes me think of Genesis 4:7, which is about sin and Satan, which is crouching right at your doorway, waiting for an opportunity to pounce on you and rule over you through sin. So there are examples of what is coming, and we just have to figure out the best we can understand to apply Scripture to our life. And we can certainly wonder what is going on. Lots is going on. Lots is being orchestrated. Our world is changing. And we just want to remember our relation with Jesus is what is most important in life and in our afterlife. Because we want to choose heaven and not neglect our choice and therefore go to hell. So, in life, we have knowledge and we have experience, and so we speak to other people about it. That's what we do. We speak the message of the gospel to all sorts of people. I do think about what I talk about pretty regularly, about the troubles going on, and I kind of reflect on this personally because 3 years ago there was the Paradise Campfire and I spoke to the community about getting ready. I spoke at the Paradise Performing Arts Center in a free public address. And afterwards I found that there were people who really benefited from that and took preparations steps, and they were so glad they did. And then the Paradise Campfire happened. And as I said, they were glad for the preparation steps that they took. And now I'm wondering, could it be that there will be another event happening, a big event, somewhere, somehow, where our supplies would be needed? I just wonder. I mean, it happened in the 3 years ago. In the Paradise Campfire. Will it happen again? It could. Oh, let's think. There was one other thing about the vaccine. Oh, yeah. This is just another little thing that happened. And I don't know if you remember, but about a year ago, in this broadcast, or earlier this year, really, I said that it would not surprise me if the well-known people and political people that were shown on TV when they were getting the vaccine, I said they were probably getting injected with saline water and not the common experimental vaccine that they were giving to all the regular people. And now someone has said that same thing. Of course, we all have to investigate things for what is true. And will we ever know the real, absolute truth? I don't think so. I've read enough history to know that there's things that are always surprises. But that story was in the London Daily Telegraph. That was about 16 days, 17 days ago. And it talked about the head nurse that was associated with a university medical center. Oh, Ljubljana in Slovenia. Now, I know that that's a long ways away in a foreign country with a small name, but But it still is something that was said. This head nurse said that she had personal knowledge that there were three separate vials of vaccines that were available and given to people. One of the vials was marked with a 1, and that contained only a saline solution. And that was the one that was given to politicians and powerful social and economic people. She said the vials marked with a 2 had standard experimental mRNA vaccine in them, and the vials marked with a 3 had the standard vaccine, and they had an oncological gene, which meant it promoted or caused cancer, and that those 3 were available or given out. Now, I know it's hard to think about a story in a far-off land, and is it true or not? And we certainly do have that question. I can only urge everyone to ask God what is the truth and show them, because we all have to be comfortable with what we understand. But I do say, look at the doctors and researchers who are speaking against this vaccine. There is Gert Van den Bosch, who is a vaccine developer himself, and he says, don't take this vaccine. There is Ryan Cole, MD. He's a pathologist, and he sees what has happened in the bodies of people who has taken this vaccine, and he says, don't take it. There's Dolores Cahill, a doctor, an immunologist, and she says, uh-uh, don't. And there was Tal Zaks, the MD. Now, I saw him in a discussion with Dr. Cahill, and this didn't come out as a statement, but in that conversation, he talked about how seriously bad it was, and so did Dr. Cahill. But there's many people, they both were talking about how it would cause death. But there's many people who say don't take that vaccine, and we just have to research it ourselves and see what we end up believing. Who are we going to believe? It's a good question. I just tell you this information because I've heard it on the videos, but you will have to search this out for yourself and understand what your research shows. It's not that it's easy to research the truth. It's never easy. But I know that there's enough people that are concerned about this vaccine that I am also concerned with it. You make your own choices, but I hope you do research it. I do remember there was a time, that was earlier this year, when healthy people like pilots were falling over dead. They couldn't figure out why. And now in recent days, there have been stories about dozens of healthy athletes, like soccer players, who were either falling over dead in the fields or being unable to practice and play anymore because they had something going on in their body. So, like I said, it's up to each one of us to seek the truth and to research matters. So are you going to believe a person who tells you it's okay to take it? Or are you going to believe the immune system that God gave you? And it's not quite like I know the answer. I don't. I know what I think. But each one of us has our own conscience to deal with, and we have to figure it out. And we do know that death is inevitable, no matter what, for any one of us. And we want to have a plan for death. And that plan is to know Jesus Christ. That is the plan, and that is where we want to always remember. There are scripture verses to say that everyone ought to be convinced in their own mind of what to do. That's Romans 14:5. And so I think it's good to check out everything, make sure that we are convinced of the truth and convinced of the consequences of our actions. And yes, a part of it is faith, and yes, a part of it is what we understand from people. Well, just have a look at all of it. Seek out God's truth. That's what I hope every one of us does. Because truth, what is truth? We all have an understanding, but our truth compared to God's truth really doesn't matter. And that goes into even ideas of, do we believe? Do we have faith? Do we believe that Jesus died for our sins? And so there's a lot of people who say, well, I believe what I believe. And that's fine, because they get the consequences of their choice. And so do each one of us. And that is why we want to have that personal relation with Jesus. We do have habits that we learn, and I think of that Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that is a part of what we learn. We learn these habits of how to live, what to do, who do we trust even, and we want godly habits to prevail. That's what we want, and that's a part of our prayer. Our prayer is indeed to seek the truth, and sometime we need a little help finding that truth, and so we ask God to show us, and praise God, he does. Now, it's not always the way we expect to be shown, but he always does show us. Well, he answers prayer, and so if that's a part of our prayer, to be shown the truth, he will show us. But sometimes we have to really hold on to that truth, seek it out, and really strive to understand that it is a message that God is showing us. Often enough, we learn afterwards. We learn that, oh, we should have listened to this or to that. And then we have a little chance to learn. And we say, ah, next time I will do it better. And so that's one of the reasons that we want to really pay attention to our prayer life and to seek to hear what I would call the voice of God, which can be a still, quiet voice. In fact, that's what I have found it to be, a still, quiet voice. And oh, how we want to pay attention to what is going on around us, hear the voice of God, and be directed to what he tells us about. It is always a good habit to pray and to seek the will of God and to seek our understanding according to what the Bible tells us. The Bible is our guide, and we want to hear the voice of God as we read the Bible. God demonstrates that he alone is God, and he tells us. There's Isaiah 45:5. It goes, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no other God. There's also scripture that tells us to teach the name of our God to our children. And of course, we have two different things going on with that. We have the Hebrew tradition that says God's name is so very sacred that we're not even to speak the name of God ever. And so we have this two little things going on. One is that we are to know the name of God, and the other is the Hebrew tradition that we are not to speak the name of God. It's a little contrast here, and I think we do want to seek to understand it. I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. For instance, in simple terms, Yeshua is a savior, and El stands for the strong or the first, and Eloah is to worship, and Elohim is the created creator, and Jehovah is the ever-existing one, and Yah is inhabiting eternity, and El Shaddai is the Almighty. So we have these things that are names for God, and we want to remember that Moses asked God, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God said to Moses, "Tell them that I am sent you." And just like Isaiah 45:5 says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me." And that is something which we all have to remember in our relationship with God Jesus. There is none other God, and the God of the Bible. Scripture helps us to grasp the nature of God, and that is why being familiar with the names of God is a benefit. I started talking about the names of God because of one verse here in Isaiah. I am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Elohim besides me. So the Bibles say it different because they use other words and other names, and like I said, the Hebrew tradition is that God's name is so sacred that we are not to speak it ever. And then there are people who say we should know the name of God. So, Scripture talks about this in different ways, and I see it that the important part is that when we are addressing God by God or God by one of his names, I think that we just want to be extremely respectful of how we speak to the Almighty God. And of course, we know there's people who use God's name in vain, who don't believe in God, who really profess that there is and never was a God. But I would like to tell you about the dying words of some of these famous atheists who, in the end, believe there is a God. Well, here's some of those dying words. Last words of, here's Thomas Hobbes, a political philosopher. "I say again, if I had the whole world at my disposal, I would give it to live one more day. I am about to take a leap into the dark." And here's Thomas Paine. He was an atheist writer in the American colonies. Here's what he said to people around him. "Stay with me, for God's sake. I cannot bear to be left alone. O Lord, help me. O God, what have I done to suffer so much? What will become of me hereafter? I would give the worlds if I had not written the Age of Reason. O Lord, help me. Christ, help me. No, don't leave. Stay with me. Send even a child to stay with me, for I am on the edge of hell here alone. If ever the devil had an agent, I have been that one." Here's Sir Thomas Scott, Chancellor of England. "Until this moment, I had thought there was neither a God nor a hell. How I feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the best judgment of the Almighty." Voltaire, he was a famous anti-Christian atheist. Here's what he said, his last words. I am abandoned by God and man. To his physician, he said, I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months of life. And his physician said, that is not possible. And Voltaire said, then I shall die and go to hell. His nurse said, all night long, he cried for forgiveness. Here's another person, Caesar Borgia, the Italian nobleman and cardinal. He said, while I lived, I provided for everything except death, and now I must die and am unprepared to die. Here's David Hume, atheist, philosopher, and religious skeptic. He cried out on his deathbed, I am in flames. Okay. Napoleon Bonaparte, the French emperor and military man. My ambition to dominate the world brought about death to millions. And he said, I die before my time and my body will be given back to the earth. What an abyss between my deep misery and the eternal kingdom of Christ. Here's Sir Francis Newport. He was the head of the English Atheist Club. And to those who were gathered around him when he was in his deathbed, he said, you need not tell me that there is no God, for I know there is one, and I am in his presence. You need not tell me that there is no hell, for I feel myself slipping into hell. There is no hope for me. I am lost forever. Oh, that fire that is never quenched. Oh, to be united with God, but that is a fruitless wish. Millions of years will bring no end to my torment. Oh, the insufferable pangs of hell. Charles the Ninth, King of France, he gave the order to slaughter French Christians that were called the Huguenots. And 15,000 Huguenots were slaughtered in Paris. Plus, there were 100,000 in the rest of France slaughtered. Well, the king on his deathbed had blood bursting from his veins. And to his physicians, he said, during the last hours of his life, he was both asleep and awake. He said, I see mangled forms of Huguenots. They drop blood and point to their wounds as they pass before me. What shall I do? I am lost forever. I know it. I have done wrong. Here's another one, David Strauss. He was a leading representative of German nationalism. So after a lifetime of erasing belief in God from the minds of many others, he said, my philosophy leaves me utterly forlorn. I feel like one caught in the merciless jaws of an automatic machine, not knowing at what time one of its giant hammers will crush me. Here's Gandhi of India. He said, all about me is darkness. I am praying for light. Joseph Stalin. In the Soviet Union, he was a politician and a revolutionary all around the world. This was what his daughter said when she was present with others at the death of her father. My father died a difficult and terrible death. At his very last moment of life, he suddenly opened his eyes with an insane and angry glance. He looked over all the people in the room, and he raised his left hand in a menacing gesture. And the next moment, he was dead. Here's Anton LaVey, the author of the Satanic Bible. His last words were, "Oh my, what have I done? There is something very wrong." Oh, what a contrast it is. These are people who were atheists, who said they did not believe in God. They did nothing to make their life right with God. They rejected Jesus. And you can see what a contrast there is between one who rejects God and one who embraces God. What a great, huge difference there is. Contrast. You see, these were the atheists, and you heard what I said their last words were. But there's Paul the Apostle, and he said in 1 Corinthians 12:55, "O death, where is your sting?" And I should say Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." What a contrast. What a contrast between the believers in God and the ones who are atheists, who profess there is no God. Well, clearly, neither you nor your loved ones want to die without the saving knowledge of a relation with Jesus Christ. And clearly, you want to seek your relation with Jesus and pursue that godly love and feel that godly love. And you want to do that as if your eternal life of heaven or hell depends on it, because it does. It does. Jesus paid the price for our sins, and it's a free gift to us. And we accept that gift, and we're born again, and then we have heaven instead of hell. It's a free gift. So then what? Then what? Then we want to live with gratitude in our hearts and in our minds. We are so thankful that we seek, after we feel his love, we seek to love him back by following his commandments. Yes, check it out for yourself. Read the Bible. It's all in there. It tells us what to do and how to establish our relation with God, Jesus Christ. Oh, that's what is going on ultimately. At the last minute of life, that is what is important, our relation with God, Jesus. And then we are in this world, and we have so many distractions going on, so many things that get our attention. It can be a personal issue. It can be something going on with people next to us, in the neighborhood, or in the world. We get so many things going on that we don't want to pay attention to what is the most important, which is our relationship with God, Jesus. We can think about the natural disasters around us. We can think about, there have been fires in so many places. We can think about those. We can think about what we need to make our car or truck work better. Or we can think about what's going to happen in the future. And I know how many people are concerned with fires and earthquakes and things such as that. And speaking of earthquakes, you know that there were about 50 earthquakes off the coast of Oregon, 200 miles off the coast of Oregon. That was not the Cascadia Zone, but they were kind of close to the Cascadia Zone. So I think that's a reminder of how another distraction we could have if there were a great big earthquake along the Cascadia Fault, well, that would sure get our attention, wouldn't it? It would be worse than any San Andreas earthquake has ever been. It would be worse than the San Francisco earthquake of 1906. Or it would be worse than the San Andreas fault going off or the New Madrid fault going off. See, all these things are ready, waiting to happen, not to mention the events of the Bible, which include wars and rumors of war and famine and, yeah, earthquakes. So all these things must not distract us from Jesus Christ and how we want to speak the good news of the gospel to others. And so we do that as being a Christ follower with kindness to others and wisdom as we show our godly kindness. Now, we need wisdom too, because it's not just all about kind, compassionate things. It is how to show wise compassion and providing things for people. And that's a part of the wisdom as we show our love to other people. Now, it's always good to be prepared for all these things, whether it is showing kindness or prepared for a natural disaster, or if it is prepared to meet Jesus. See, all these things are forms of preparation that we want to be ready to deal with what is right in front of us. And ultimately, what could be more important than knowing the love of Jesus and showing it to other people? That's, in a way, what is completely ultimate as we face the last minutes of life, just like I just read what those atheists said. They knew what was important. A relation with God through Jesus Christ was important. So for any other broadcasts of Christ Today, you can listen to them or listen to this one again by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. Now, I do have a free preparedness pamphlet. And if you just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I will send that right back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222 Chico, California 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222 Chico, California 95927. If there are donations for one thing or another or some questions, you can write those to me also. And do remember to pray for other people. There's a lot of prayer needs in this world. So, thank you for listening, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to every nation.